Welcome back, everyone. Yes, we are still here on Racecast in the depth of winter. A lot has changed since we last spoke. Lewis Hamilton has officially become a Ferrari driver. Carlos Sainz has officially become a Williams driver. Kimi Antonelli has officially become a Mercedes driver. The list goes on and on. But while I'm here, I would really pleasely? I would really kindly, I don't know what I'm trying to say. What I am trying to say is give us a 5-star rating wherever you're listening to us. Apple Podcasts, Spotify. It really does make a huge difference. And it massively helps out the podcast. And, you know, we are keen. We set our goals for 2025. We want to climb those charts in the most obscure countries possible. So if you are listening somewhere where you can comment, Spotify, you can leave comments. Drop us a comment. Where are you listening? And if you're watching us on YouTube right now, where in the world are you? And obviously, at the same time, make sure you subscribe, like, and comment. Get involved with all the conversation. Believe it or not, there is still stuff going on in the F1 world. And we're going to touch on all of it. So this is the part of the show where I pass it on to Matt because he's done most of the work.
I have done most of the work. And firstly, you know, Happy New Year. So this is our first podcast in the new year. It was 2025.
It came out on New Year's. New Year's Eve.
Okay. So yes. First podcast. Happy New Year, everyone. There is still news. There is still news, which is, I know for a lot of people, it is weird, isn't it? Because I was thinking about this the other day. So this time last year, the season finished in November. Mm-hmm. We basically stopped the podcast until end of January, I think it was.
Yeah.
So we had no content. However, we're still posting 2 clips a day. We've been consistent with that.
Which is impressive, by the way. We've been consistent now since, I want to say September.
Yeah, September, October time.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm proud of us. Well done, man.
Yeah, we said we were going to do it, and we have done it. We're going to continue, and 2025 year is going to be a big year for us. It doesn't matter what way you look at it. It is.
I'm excited to get the season underway. Obviously, we know it's in February, we've got the car launch. Mm-hmm. And then obviously, first race, Australia, mm-hmm. in March. I'm buzzing. I'm really buzzing for the new season. I watched a clip, and I don't know if you've seen it. Williams posted a YouTube video yesterday. It's like a minute and a half clip of Carlos Sainz, of his test he did in Abu Dhabi.
Oh, cool.
It's some really cool shots and everything. Some radio messages. It's decent.
I really hope he runs the season with that white helmet.
Do you like it?
It looks clean. So clean.
It does, yeah.
And I know he won't because sponsors and whatnot. Yeah. But holy, that looks cool. Like I saw that helmet in that blue car as well. And obviously they wear the white suits. I don't know if that's going to be the same for next season. But yeah, it looked clean. But you know what? I have been thinking about one thing.
Yep.
You know what's been really exciting as a Mercedes fan, particularly over the last couple of years, come car launch? Mm. Liveries. You know what Ferrari fans can't be excited about?
A livery.
It's the same. And look, it's iconic. You see here.
Hang on. You say Ferrari fans. The ones who I feel really sorry for are the Red Bull fans because...
even Max Verstappen has said, come on, like, change it. You do something.
Yeah.
It's going to look exactly the same. We know that. I've seen some actually really, really cool Red Bull concepts. There's quite a lot of, like, designers out there that do concept liveries. Yeah. See them on Instagram, Twitter, and they look sick. Red Bull should just run with one of them. You know, Red Bull are also one of the very few cars on the grid that don't seem to have any of this like carbon fiber, or it's very minimal as opposed to, like, I don't know, you look at a team like Alpine, Steak. Mm. So they can, just interrupting this podcast, the wide angle has just stopped recording and it's just cut off. And what we're not going to do is interrupt this podcast with some bullshit technical error. We're just going to carry on. But if you wonder why there's no more wide angle, that's why. I don't need error. Don't. It wants a new...
I can change the card while you're still talking.
No.
I can multitask.
Nope. But we'll try and have that fixed for next week.
You don't want me to change the card? I can literally do it right there.
You think that you can do... Okay, well, do you, I give can me do the it. First news story.
All right.
All right.
Well, no, you keep talking about liveries. I mean,
no,
this
but
is...
I've said, like, that often what you see is a lot of the concept liveries are nicer than the actual liveries. And I'm sure there's a reason for that. Yeah, that's not disturbing, is it? I'm sure there's a reason for that. And but I just can't think what it is. Like, they must have, like, these professional design teams that come up with these concepts, and they want them to look as cool as possible. I know they've got to have sponsors in the right place, etc., but that shouldn't affect, like, how the colours are used. And basically, I saw this really cool Red Bull concept that was, like, a Ford concept. Like, yep. Ford Red Bull. And it had, like, silver on, and it looked so good. If I can find an image, I will put it up here. You know you haven't fixed it.
I realise I can't. Look, it doesn't even turn off.
The camera is not turning off.
I literally cannot turn off. I mean, I'm literally over by the camera now. I mean, if you listen to this, you're like, what the hell is going on? But I literally cannot change. I can't do anything with it.
Yeah, we'll bin that after this.
Well, I mean, yeah.
But anyway, moving on swiftly on the topic of liveries.
Yep.
Basically, that my point was, is we talk about the car launch. It's going to be less exciting, I think, being... You know, like we said, we'll be following Ferrari this year. Mm. Lewis fans, that's cool. Like, first and foremost, we're F1 fans, love the sport. So if you're upset that we are fans of someone, great. But naturally, we're going to be a bit more invested in Ferrari. You know, I last season, I watched pretty much like all those car launches. Like, yeah. I was on them. But because Lewis was in the Mercedes, I was keen, like, what's the Mercedes look like? It's going to look sick. Are they going to keep it black? Are they going to go back to silver?
The black livery was always the one.
Black livery, like 2023 was a cool car.
Yeah.
But now with Ferrari, I'm like, well, it's going to be red. And that's it. Like, yeah. That's as far as the, like, excitement in terms of what the car looks like. Because, you know, on car launch day, you're not getting the full spec either. So if they've done something really cool, or they have had, like, a radical design change, you're not going to see it on that day. So it's just less exciting. But I think the exciting part comes from, you know, seeing Lewis and Charles line up.
I think the launch for me is actually hearing from the teams, hearing from the drivers. I mean, we've got some really exciting people to hear from this year. You know, you've got Antonelli, Bortoletto. There's so many good drivers. You're seeing, you know, Lewis Hamilton in red. You know, there's so many exciting parts to this livery launch. Mm-hmm. I don't think a lot of people really care so much about the actual liveries. I think they'll care more about hearing from the actual drivers themselves, because there's so much change. Liam Lawson at Red Bull.
Yeah,
what does that mean with that dynamic between Max and Liam? You know, there's so many stories, and there's so many...
There is going to be a big dynamic change in, like, the paddock and how that looks, you know, because... Like you say, we've had a lot of changes in terms of personalities and faces that we're going to see around. So it'll be interesting. Like I said, I've stressed this so many times. I think next season has all the ingredients.
This season.
Well, yeah, I guess that this upcoming season has all the ingredients to be an absolute all-timer. Yeah.
No, I agree with you.
And I really hope we get that. And that involves McLaren turning up, Ferrari turning on. Ferrari turning up, Red Bull turning up, Mercedes turning up.
If you're listening on the audio platform, Luke just decided to take one of the hats off the wall, which was nicely placed.
Oh, I fixed it. But yeah, let's crack on with some F1 news, because like I said, there is stuff still kicking off.
So Max Verstappen willing to cross a line for title success. So
no way.
Yeah, no, I didn't see that one coming, really. That was really a shock.
Is it, like, was there a need to say that? Is water wet? I don't know.
He said, I will always go to the limit to get the most out of every race. If I have to force it, then that's just how it goes. Sometimes you have to cross a line. I'll always do everything to get the maximum result for a championship. And of course, sometimes you have to go to the limit or over the limit. And not everyone understands that. And not everyone has that mentality. I mean... Firstly, that's not really a shock, because we've seen what Max Verstappen does year in, year out. And actually, some people will say it's dangerous, but actually, on the other hand, he's a racing driver. He's trying to get the most out of it. I don't mind it. Apart from that, he did almost try and kill Lando Norris in Mexico. But apart from that...
Look, it's always one of those things where if Max is your driver, you respect it.
Yeah.
If Max is doing it against your driver, you can't stand it. So,
I mean, us in 2021.
Yeah, I mean,
we couldn't stand it.
I don't want to sit on the fence here because I know that sounds like I am. I completely agree with taking it to the absolute limit.
Yeah.
And sometimes Max does that and I think, yeah, that's just Max. Like, this is, he races you hard and that's what you're going to get with him. I like that side of him. I like it that he's so competitive and has such a desire to win that he will take it to that extreme. What I don't like is when he oversteps it, because that to me takes away from how good of a driver he is sometimes. You know, if you go back to incidents in Saudi Arabia 2021, where it was almost blatantly obvious that he was just missing the breaking point and was almost happy to smash Lewis. I don't like that. No. I am all for running people off the track, right? And using all the space on the road to make it unbelievably difficult for your opponent to overtake you. But to completely cross the line, I think just takes away from how good of a driver Max is. He doesn't need to do those things a lot of the time. And I've always said it's the one side of his driving that I really dislike. And fair enough, there are going to be Max fans, maybe even just F1 fans that are here saying, oh, you should have seen Senna and Schumacher back in the day. That's fine. Like, I wouldn't have liked it with them either. I mean, I just think it's not necessary for drivers to do that when they're that quick. And that's kind of a backhanded compliment to Max. I'm saying he's so good. He doesn't need that in his locker.
Mm.
It's just unnecessary.
I think, you know, he says it here, doesn't he? Not everyone has that mentality. Max Verstappen wants to win at all costs. And actually, if he's not winning, he wants to show to his competitors that actually, okay, I may not be winning, but I am here.
Yeah,
but don't forget about me.
I think that's just... I don't think that encapsulates like a winner's mentality. You know, winning at all costs. Is that what is required in order to be a winner? Like, I'm all for, like I said, doing absolutely everything. Whether that means bending the rules or, you know, pushing them to the point of failure, but absolutely just violating the rules, which in some cases he does or has done, I don't necessarily think that's what you need to, you know. Lewis Hamilton has generally been a very fair and clean driver across his entire career. There's been incidents. Well, he's an F1 driver. Are we saying that Lewis doesn't have a winning mentality?
Yeah, I think... Well, let's go back just to... Let's just look at 2024 for Max. We complimented him a lot last year in the sense of, you know, he's not a... He didn't have the fastest car.
No.
But he still picked up what he wanted. For me, that was a real championship winning season. If that makes sense?
Yeah, yeah.
That was a season where actually he used everything in his armory to get across the line, get the points that he needed. But there were still points in that when actually, when he was playing smart and getting picking up those P2s just to continue in the championship, we still saw with Max Verstappen, which a lot of people said after 2022 that Max had matured and all of this stuff, we still see, or you know, that type of character that he's willing to cross the line. He's willing to... I don't think that will ever change with his driving.
Sometimes, right, what... You know, he's describing it as a win-at-all-cost mentality. Yeah. Sometimes it stinks of desperation. That's all I'm saying. And my point is that Max Verstappen does not need that. He's... 99 out of 100 days, he is quicker than everyone else on the grid.
Yeah, but I generally think that is just Max's style. I've seen karting videos of him, literally how, you know, aggressive he is within his driving. That's just him. I don't think you'll ever change that.
I'm not saying like he needs to change or he should change. I'm just saying I don't like that aspect of his driving. No. So that's fine. Look,
I mean, to be fair, like when it happened, I was like, when he was battling Lando last year, I was like, fair play.
I mean, when it's not happening to your driver, and that's my point. When it's when it's happening, you're kind of just like, oh, well, fine. But I mean, it. I think sometimes it's still infuriating to watch. And I think definitely if you've been on the receiving end of it, like if your driver has been on the receiving end of it, it makes you think like, oh, my God. Yeah. Someone just saw it out and just stopped this from happening. But, yeah, look, Max is, he's obviously got a winner's mentality. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying I really don't think he needs that part specifically in his locker.
Let us know what your thoughts are on that. Right, Red Bull have not ruled out a future negotiations with Carlos Sainz. Christian Horner has explained some of the logic behind choosing Lawson as Perez's successor. We've said on the podcast, obviously, when Carlos Sainz was announced that he was leaving Ferrari last year, he would be a perfect fit at Red Bull. We love Carlos Sainz. We think he's actually deserves a top team. But Christian Horner said, you know, Carlos Sainz is a great driver and options still remain open with him in the future. He was considered, and in many aspects, you'd say there was a real logic to Carlos, but we made the choice to look internally and put belief in our junior program. That attracts more juniors because they see a pathway to Formula One. If we'd gone outside the program, that is not sending the right message. And I completely get it. I understand Christian Horner's decision. And
was Carlos Sainz not part of the Red Bull Junior program?
He was, but I think because he's not part of it now, and he hasn't been for a few years now, that's what I think he's trying to. Because I initially thought that, I was like, well, he was part of your junior program. But I think, you know, for us, when Carlos Sainz was said that, you know, told that he was leaving Ferrari, we felt like he deserved a team at Red Bull or Mercedes, you know, because he didn't do anything wrong to lose his Ferrari seat. However, you know, Mercedes weren't going to, as we said before, take hand-me-downs.
Yeah, it wasn't going to. They weren't going to do the straight swap, were they? That made no sense. That it looks so bad on them to be like, oh, fine. You take our driver. Yeah, we'll take yours. That's fine. Yeah.
No, but answer me this though, because I've seen a lot of reports say that obviously Lawson is a perfect fit for Red Bull and all of this. If you're the team principal of Red Bull, okay, and you've got two options, they come to you like, you've got Carlos Sainz, Liam Lawson. Who are you taking?
Well, it's difficult because I think for us as F1 fans, we can sit here and just think, okay, well, on paper, Carlos Sainz. You know, undeniably at this point, a quicker driver than Liam Lawson.
Yeah.
Buckets of F1 experience, race wins, podiums, the lot. But I quite like the fact that Christian Horner has sat there and thought, well, actually, this makes our programme look really good. There's no saying that Liam Lawson isn't going to come into that Red Bull team. And in a season or two, we're going to sit there and go, oh, okay, yeah, he's better than Carlos Sainz. That was the right decision. They obviously see a lot more than us. The fact that they are, you know, Red Bull have always been, in my opinion, the best team for this, getting fresh young drivers into the sport, you know, helps because they've got a sister team as well. But a lot of those drivers, or a good handful, do end up racing for Red Bull, who are a top team. So I think in order to keep that going, I don't think this is a bad, I've never said Liam Lawson is a bad choice anyway. And yeah, they obviously had their longer term plan, because I mean, if I was in charge, I would have got rid of Checo like four races in. No, maybe not four. He did pick up a couple of P2s in that time, but yeah. So they've obviously got a long term vision, and yeah, I respect it.
Yeah, to be fair, now it's happened. Carlos Sainz at Williams. I'm really excited for that. So
yeah.
Excited to see what Liam Lawson can do. I still think Yuki should be in that seat, but I have moved on.
Williams never signed a driver like Carlos Sainz without these special set of circumstances.
Yeah. Oh, 100%.
So, I mean, the real winners out of everything here is Williams.
Yeah.
Out of the whole, like, Lewis, Kimi, Red Bull, Lawson, like, out of all of that, like, saga, Williams win.
Guess who's in the news? Our mate, Flavio Briatore. Okay.
The Alpine boss.
Yes, so Flavio has said he finds it hard to understand Ferrari's decision to change up the Charles Leclerc and Carlos Sainz duo. Lewis Hamilton is a great champion, but Flavio would not have brought him to Ferrari. Interesting take.
Maybe that's why he's not at Ferrari.
Maybe.
Would he have brought him to Alpine?
You would have thought so. No. Jack Doohan.
Yes.
Nah. Flavio has said it would be strange to see Lewis in Ferrari. Of course, I respect such decisions, but I wonder if it makes sense. I don't understand why this great duo, he's talking about Carlos Sainz and Charles Leclerc, has been torn apart. And we've said on the podcast, haven't we? Leclerc and Sainz was a perfect partnership. They were both pretty equal in that machinery. They both did a great job. But we have also said that actually, once a seven-time champion, world champion comes knocking, you do not turn that down. And unfortunately, we've also said Charles Leclerc is the golden boy. He is the chosen one. He was never going to be replaced. So it was unfortunate it was Carlos Sainz.
Yeah, it's just collateral damage and easy for him to say he's not there. Carlos Sainz and Leclerc was a great partnership. You know, when we used to do rank, Max Perez, Lewis George, like, who's top partnership? They were always up there.
Yeah.
Absolutely solid, but I guess you could argue, was the team becoming a little stagnant? They'd obviously got rid of Binotto, brought in Vasseur. Performance had kind of started picking up. Maybe they just wanted to shake things up, and if Lewis Hamilton comes knocking, I'm sorry, at this point in his career, he's still done nothing wrong. He's still done nothing to prove that he hasn't got it.
No.
You're just not going to say no, and I would be interested to see how Flavio acted if he actually was the Ferrari team principal.
But it's interesting, isn't it? Because Binotto said the same, because he said, didn't he, a couple of months ago, it was a very strange decision, and Fred Vasseur's response was, well, I don't think he would have gone to stake anyway, Lewis gone to stake.
Do you know what I mean? And that's the thing, like, you've kind of got to trust in all of these decisions. Some of them may look strange, and I'm not going to sit here and say, look, it could have been really easy for Ferrari to stick with Sainz and Leclerc. They didn't need to shake things up.
Yeah.
But are they a weaker team now bringing Lewis Hamilton in? Like, if you had to say categorically yes or no, maybe, one or the other, you would say no.
Right? I do not see the team any weaker. If anything, I see it stronger.
Well, yeah.
Because there's two ways of looking at this, really. There's a partnership between Carlos Sainz and Charles Leclerc, which has happened for 4 years now.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. They've improved.
Yeah.
They've got race wins, yeah. Well, granted. But they haven't taken it to the next level.
The team hasn't been taken to where it needs to be.
So Fred Vasseur now has made this decision to go, we need to try something different now.
Yeah.
This car is in a relatively good place. We've made good strides. We need someone else to come in to change it up a bit to see if we can go to that next level of getting a Constructors' Championship, getting a Drivers' Championship. And there's no one better to come alongside Charles Leclerc than Lewis Hamilton.
Exactly.
And
what the TikTok army can't do is they can't sit there, berate us for saying that Lewis had a better season than Fernando and still saying that Fernando is, you know, one of the best drivers on the grid, and then argue with us that Carlos Sainz is a better driver than Lewis Hamilton.
Mm.
Come on. Like, I know someone's going to fight that fight. But we have to look at it, like, logically. Lewis Hamilton is the better option than Carlos Sainz. That takes nothing away from Carlos Sainz. He's class. Mm. If I was a team principal at pretty much any team and I had Carlos Sainz in a seat, I wouldn't be actively looking to get rid of him.
Ferrari have got nothing to lose in this situation. The Tifosi are desperate for a championship, okay? Right? They're close. Mm-hmm. They're really close. Yeah. I really, truly believe that. And I would even put money on this year, Ferrari winning the Constructors.
Go on then.
All right. 75p, the same as what you put on.
I'll put 12p on.
Okay, 12p, yeah. I would, because I really feel that Ferrari are so close. Their development has been so much better over the last couple of years. Fred Vasseur has really stabilised that team. And you can look back to when he first came in. People were leaving left, right and centre. And we were thinking, is this team, you know...
capitulating.
Yeah. And somehow, Fred Vasseur has stabilised it. They're getting good wins. They're getting good performances. With Lewis Hamilton coming in, right, there's no negative to that. He is a person with great knowledge. He will work hard. He will want to go there and prove to everyone that actually there's no better story here than Lewis Hamilton going to Ferrari and getting them their first championship in since, what, 2007? Wasn't it Kimi Raikkonen won the last
Drivers' Championship? Yeah, and then Constructors a year later.
Yeah.
But only because McLaren got disqualified.
So there is no better story here. And Lewis Hamilton going there will be pumped.
Yeah.
And I'm not just saying that because I'm a Lewis fan. This for him, you know, he spent 12 years at Mercedes. This for him at the age of 39 is an incredible opportunity to actually go. He'd be revitalised. He'd be ready for it.
But I would also argue that this is potentially the biggest challenge of Lewis's career.
Yeah, I would agree with you on that.
Because...
Yeah, it was always a big ask when he went to Mercedes because no one expected him going to Mercedes at the time. Everyone was going, why?
But and here's my point, right? No one expected him to go to Mercedes and win as much as he did. People are expecting him, after winning as much as he has, going to a team like Ferrari, who are capable of winning, they are expecting him to win. They are expecting him to be better than Charles Leclerc. It's also come at a time in his career where, oh, if he's underperforming, is he just finished? Is that it? Like, does he need to retire? So he will be gassed. He will be pumped. But the pressure is on. And he does have to come in and perform relatively well from the off. And like I say, this is the biggest, in my opinion, the biggest challenge of Lewis Hamilton's career.
And after hearing you say, I'd probably agree with you on that one. And actually, it's a very exciting chapter for him, this whole thing. Because, and like you say, the Tifosi, they want results.
Pressure isn't always a bad thing.
No.
You know, I'm not saying it. And
if anyone can deal with it.
Exactly. So it's going to be a big year for Ferrari and Lewis. It's going to be very interesting.
Yeah, no, I agree. So do let us know on that one. So I've got a little quiz.
You know we love a quiz here at Racecast.
So it is a 2024 quiz.
Was, just interjecting here. I was speaking about the podcast on... Well, I was speaking about Racecast on Waffling.
What, this week?
Yeah, on Thursday. The episode's not coming out until Sunday.
Did I get a mention?
No.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, I was really worried you actually
The boys spoke. Said we have to change the name.
Huh? The boys?
Yeah.
Okay.
They're like, and I said, well, yeah, but you know, we got a few things bubbling away. But I feel like a name change may be necessary if certain things don't come off.
Okay. The reason why they want to change the name?
Joe said it sounds like an anti-racism podcast. Which, kind of, I guess ironically, although unironically, when suggesting new names, Theo said, oh, why don't you do like one race to rule them all? He meant like a physical race. But obviously not the greatest potential name change.
No.
But one to mull over maybe.
No. Okay. Well, we'll see. We'll hopefully know in the next week or so.
Yes.
If you ever send off the bloody thing. Right. So, little quiz.
Yeah, fire away.
It's all about 2024. We did a quiz last week. Hopefully you did enjoy that.
Not another one.
No. Because I'm not being funny, your one was a bit questionable.
It wasn't.
Right. So I'm going to give you the question and I'll give you some potential answers, unless you know it straight off the bat.
So it's multiple choice.
Multiple choice. So first up, can you remember the podium for the opening race in Bahrain? So would you like some options?
Well, I know P1 and P2, I think.
Yep.
Was it not Max and Checo?
Yep.
P3 was Charles Leclerc.
It was Carlos Sainz.
I knew it was a Ferrari.
Question two, you can play at home. Do let us know.
No, you can't play at home, actually.
The closest quali battle came at Alpine, but which driver was ahead the most?
I actually think it was Ocon.
It was Ocon. Well done.
Yeah, see, because I think people would instantly go to Gasly on the basis that he's still there and Ocon lost his seat. But I think we know that the reason Ocon lost his seat wasn't necessarily performance related. It was more teamwork related. So yeah, I was pretty confident that Ocon won that. They were very close generally. I'd say, thinking back, Gasly tended to have better race pace.
Yeah, I think yeah.
But yeah, they were always close in quali.
Question number three. Which dog breed did Toto Wolff compare Christian Horner to?
Oh, a terrier.
A terrier, yep. Question four. Horner seemed flattered
Horner
by...
Horner Seaman, did you just say?
No, Horner seemed...
I think you did.
I did not.
I'm going to have to VAR that when I'm editing this.
Okay, you can. Horner seemed flattered by the comparison, saying he had two at home, but which F1 figures were they named after?
Can you give me four names?
So there's Joss and Helmut, Toto and Cyril.
Wait, his name's not Helmut.
Helmut.
It's Helmut.
Helmut. Bernie and Flavio, and Matteo and Ross.
I wasn't listening. Can you repeat them?
Horner seemed flattered.
No, I know the question.
Okay.
the answers.
Joss and Helmut, Toto and Cyril, Bernie and Flavio, Matteo and Ross.
Bernie and Flavio.
It was. Well done. Back to the track action. Who completed every lap in 2024?
Was there only one driver?
One driver completed every lap in 2024. Who was it?
Crikey. Okay, well, I can rule out certain drivers.
Well, you can rule out 19, yeah, because there's only one.
No, but like there are ones that I factually know, like Max didn't finish every race because of Australia.
Yeah.
Lewis didn't finish every race because of COTA. George because of Silverstone. I feel like it's got to be one of the lower teams.
Okay. Who are you going for?
But then they're less reliable. Maybe it was Oscar Piastri.
Oscar Piastri. Really? Well done. Well done.
Not even a lower team. I don't know why my brain took me there.
All right, question number six. Which full-time driver completed the fewest laps in 2024?
Which full-time driver?
Yeah. So what I mean by full-time, it wasn't anyone who came in for, you know, three or four races. It was someone who completed the whole season.
Okay. Alex Albon.
Alex Albon. Well done.
I'm smashing this.
You are. Right, question number seven. McLaren won their first Constructors title since 1998, but who were the drivers back then?
Mika Hakkinen.
Yep.
And David Coulthard.
Smashed it. Well done. Well done. Question number eight.
Mm.
Why did Charles Leclerc have to go back to the podium in Abu Dhabi?
Oh. To film for the F1 film.
Yeah.
So with George Russell.
What's your thoughts on the new F1 film? I'm quite excited about it, actually.
Look, I think we certainly won't have seen anything like it before. I think the level of detail that they've gone to, as in, you know, actually doing all these things, you know, having like George and Charles on the podium, like celebrating with them, the stuff they did at Silverstone when I was there watching it.
Me at Belgium. I saw it. Yeah, them doing all the stuff there.
I think it's going to be quality. I just hope they don't make it cheesy. Like, it's very easy. Like, this is obviously a very American film. They love to make things cheesy.
Are we going to go and watch it together?
Well, like a date.
Not a date.
Only if you buy me a Nando's.
And you buy the popcorn.
Now it sounds like a date.
Oh, and me buying you dinner wasn't...
It's only a Nando's, though. That's cool.
And it's only popcorn.
Why don't I'll pop some at home and bring it in a bag. It's cheaper. I'll put it in a, like a carrier bag.
All right, I cook some chicken at home, not that I eat chicken, and I just bring it. Right, question number nine. Which team had the had both drivers secure at least one pole position?
McLaren, Ferrari, Mercedes.
There's only one. Which team?
Wait, what?
Which team had both drivers secure at least one pole?
As in, like, in quali?
Yes, that's what pole position means.
Oh, yeah, Lewis didn't get one. Well, McLaren.
Ferrari.
What?
Oscar Piastri didn't get a pole position this year. He may have done in a
Did he not get sprint. One at Hungary?
No, Lando was in pole.
Oh, what, and Oscar took him on first corner? Oh, interesting. Well, I flopped that one hard.
You're right. Question number 10. Which engine supplier powered the drivers to the most laps out front? Good question, this.
So we're talking about the driver that had the most laps led, essentially.
Which engine supplier powered the drivers to the most laps out front?
So, okay. So we're looking across the four engine suppliers.
Yep.
Oh, I mean, it's got to be Mercedes.
It was Mercedes. Do you want one more?
Yeah, why not?
We said goodbye to Logan Sargeant, but after which race did Williams sack him?
Ooh.
You should know this because we had a very, very long discussion about this, about why we felt it was probably the wrong time to do it.
Yeah, because I feel like it was Zandvoort after they just came back.
Smashed it. Well done. That's good.
I killed that, let's be honest.
You did. I mean, to be fair, there's many more, but I won't bore you with those. Right, other news. Charles Leclerc ready to match Verstappen's aggression. He said, I've got that in him. Well, I've got that in me. He hasn't. Look. Lando said it. Charles has said it. They do not have that aggression to go head to head with Max Verstappen. Maybe on the odd race, yeah.
At some not across point, the season. You've got to fight fire with fire. And if you're in a title battle with Max Verstappen, you have to get your elbows out. There's no point turning that on now because I will not be editing it in.
No, I'm testing it.
You do have to fight fire with fire with Max. We kind of saw that from Lewis. You know, Lewis ended up getting very aggressive with him. They had the collision at Monza. They had the collision at Silverstone. A lot of people say the Silverstone collision was Lewis's fault. Fair enough, if you want to put that there. That's down to Lewis matching Max's aggression. I think every driver's got it in them. If they just say, but you also have to think there's many reasons why people don't drive like that with Max, because often it takes two to tango. So if you're both aggressive, chances are you're both going to get smashed out and you're both going to get 0 points. Now, if one of you is aggressive, Max is probably thinking, they'll move out of the way. They don't want to drop the points. Fair enough. I get that. That's maybe why the drivers are just like, oh.
Yeah.
We'll just back out of it.
Yeah. I mean, going up against Max Verstappen is not an easy feat, is it?
No, it's not for the weak-hearted.
It isn't. So, ex-Formula 1 driver David Coulthard has tipped his former team McLaren as this year's favourite for the World Championship. They're showing pace, the upgrades are working, the drivers are working beautifully together, and that momentum has carried them to the championship in 2024, which I believe they will continue to go into 2024 with winning constructors and winning a driver's championship.
The driver's championship. Firstly, it's a bit of a cop-out saying, well, I think McLaren are best place.
I know.
Obviously.
When I read it, I was thinking, you say that every year, you just go with the best team. Yeah, Red Bull seemed to be the best.
Yeah, like I bet he said last season, I think Red Bull are going to do it. Like, they probably were the favourites at the start of the season. McLaren are the favourites at the start of this season. I'm sure Mercedes were the favourite at the start of the 2022 season. it does change. You know, I think we have to look. I genuinely wouldn't know where to put my money in terms of a Constructors' Championship this season. Or drivers. The safer bet is McLaren. But I don't think that's a safe bet. That's just the safest of the lot. It's going to be... I do think we're going to see less from Red Bull this season.
I think Red Bull may struggle from what we're reading and what we're hearing.
But then they just never do at the same time.
Yeah, but I don't think they're going to be as strong as they have been, which, again, is pretty obvious. But I think Ferrari going to be stronger. Or they're the first team to obviously pass their crash test. Some of their upgrades, they were the team who worked on their upgrades for 2025 earlier than any other team.
Yeah.
They were stronger towards the end of the year, which that happens with Ferrari. I honestly think Ferrari are going to be there next year. I believe it would be between McLaren and Ferrari for the Constructors' Championship.
I think that looks the most probable from the end of the season, like, you know, what we saw towards the tail end. But I would also just never write off Mercedes and never write off Red Bull. Never write off Red Bull.
I write off Mercedes because I still don't feel confident enough that they know what is going on with that car.
I still don't think they understand. But you just never know. And this is what I say, like, we could come to the start of the 2024 season with...
Do you mean 25 season?
25 season. With four teams that are capable of winning races. Mm. Now, I think the two you say are the most probable.
But I also think you have to look at the driver lineup. Obviously, from better driver lineups, Piastri, Norris, a strong lineup. Mm-hmm. Lewis, Charles, strong lineup. And yes, okay, when you look at Red Bull, they got Max Verstappen. You never rule out Red Bull when you have Max Verstappen. Yeah. But we don't know what Liam Lawson is going to do in that car. You look at Mercedes, George Russell. Okay, yeah, he's a very good driver. But he's not, you know, Max Verstappen's or whatever.
Realistically now, like, if you were to rank those driver pairings, you go Ferrari, McLaren, Red Bull, Mercedes.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
Like, I don't think anyone would argue that. So, yeah, I mean, if you're Ferrari, all you need to do is provide them with a good car and you will win. Yeah. If you can provide them with a car that is able to battle with the McLaren, even if they're on par, Ferrari will win.
No, I agree.
But if you provide Red Bull with a car that's able to compete, I would not rule out Max Verstappen winning the World Championship. I don't think Red Bull have any chance for the Constructors.
No.
But again, I reiterate my point. I still wouldn't rule them out.
No. Do let us know when you're rating the four teams and their driver lineup. Who has a better driver lineup? Ferrari, Red Bull, Mercedes, McLaren. Do let us know in the comments. So, where next for Yuki Tsunoda? We've touched on this before. There's a lot of speculation, obviously, that he'll be leaving RB come the end of the year. He wasn't selected for the Red Bull seat for 2025. So that seems like his Red Bull, you know, program journey is coming to an end. So where, if he has a good season this year, where next for him? We know Aston Martin are going to have the Honda engine in 2026. Could be an option. But as we also know, Lance Stroll could keep his seat until 2090. It wouldn't make a difference.
But Fernando Alonso's contract does expire at the end of 2025, I believe.
26.
That is unlucky for Yuki.
It is.
The tough thing is, right, and we've both sat here and firmly said Yuki deserved that Red Bull seat. However, if you're, say you're a team principal at any other team, yeah, and you can pick the team, then you can change the team. Are you taking Yuki Tsunoda and over who? You know, if you're Williams, are you taking Tsunoda over Albon or Sainz?
No.
If you're Stake, are you taking him over Bortoletto and Hülkenberg?
Yeah, Because I think Yuki, I would replace...
Who?
Bortoleto, because Yuki has proved himself in the sport already. You know what you got with him.
But Yuki has proved that he's a very consistent driver, yeah, right? He's able to pump out results. I don't think Yuki's done anything to prove that he's a generational driver at all.
No.
Okay. He's not one of the great drivers.
Okay, Haas. Ollie Bearman, Ocon. He would fit in. He would go into that Haas seat.
Do you take Yuki over Ocon?
Yes.
Based on what? What has Yuki done more than Ocon has done? And this is my...
Okay, maybe not Ocon. Bearman, yes.
Yeah, but again, now this is where you look at the flip side. Okay, Yuki Tsunoda is probably near or like thereabouts at his max potential. Now, obviously,
only in that team though.
But if you're getting a driver like Ollie Bearman in, it's because you're looking at the bigger picture.
Yeah.
Bortoleto, bigger picture.
Yuki's still young though.
Yeah, granted.
He's still young. I don't think you do not take Ollie Bearman over Yuki Tsunoda.
I'm just saying it's a tougher decision. Like if he leaves RB.
Yeah.
I'm just saying who takes him, because there's no like definitive. Look, I don't think the gap in performance between Ocon and Yuki Tsunoda probably changes race to race, as in who's quicker.
All right, answer me this then. So you're saying that he doesn't take over other drivers, right? But apparently, I've said it and so have you. He deserved that Red Bull seat. Well, actually, if he deserves that top seat, he should get a seat in any of those other teams, because that is a top team.
He deserves the seat because of how the structure works.
Yeah.
He deserved the opportunity at a top team.
Do you take Tsunoda over Antonelli?
But this is my point. It's a difficult question to answer. Like, it's not do I take him over. It's at this point, do I get rid of Antonelli? You've got to think where it's going to be, right? Where it's going to be in a year's time, if Tsunoda is to lose his seat,
yeah,
is where you've got Antonelli, who's got a multi-year contract. Like, all these... At that point in time, it's...
Antonelli hasn't. He's only got 1 year contract.
Okay, but let's assume, like, the decision has to be made after a season. You know, we're talking before these drivers have even raced. Do you remove Antonelli to put Yuki Tsunoda in the seat, is my question. Not if it's open, do you give it to him? Do you remove someone to put Yuki Tsunoda in it? And I don't think that there's necessarily, at this point in time, anyone on the grid. That may change once we've seen these rookies drive, right? I don't think Yuki Tsunoda is a special enough or standout driver enough to be like, yeah, we would lose him. We would lose so-and-so for Yuki Tsunoda.
Yeah, fair.
And that's not a criticism, because very few drivers are standout. But I just think he should have got the Red Bull seat. I'm not going back on that. He should have had it, because he was the best placed to take it.
Yep.
If that's the pathway they were going to take. I mean, ultimately, we said Carlos Sainz should have had it. Carlos Sainz should have had it over Yuki Tsunoda. Yuki Tsunoda should have had it over Liam Lawson. Mm. But they gave it to Liam Lawson. That's fine. If Lawson comes in and smashes it, I don't mind eating my words.
No.
Like, I think Lawson is a really good driver. I just think Yuki had done more because he had had a longer career, and in his head-to-head with Lawson, did outperform him. Yuki deserved it more than him. But they've obviously gone a different route for obvious reasons, and that's fine. But I think if Yuki leaves RB, he probably struggles to find a seat.
Yeah. For me, though, if he was going to get a seat, we've said before, they've got Cadillac coming in.
Yeah.
Potential opportunity for 2026. Aston Martin, we don't know what's going to happen with Lance Stroll. His contract apparently expires in 2025.
He's actually got a contract, has he?
It's unlimited.
Yeah.
It's like Perez's contract.
It's just like, write your number here and how long you want it for.
But I wouldn't mind seeing him in Aston Martin. It makes logical sense. And actually, I wouldn't even mind seeing him in an Alpine alongside Gasly again. I love that partnership. You know,
that's where my mind went. Mm. But I didn't want to buy into this Jack Doohan's on a ticking clock sort of thing.
Right, do let us know where's next for Yuki Tsunoda. So, I don't know if you've seen this, but there's a 2014 and 2025 comparison.
I've heard about the similarities.
So, 2014, Vettel is a four-time in a row world champion at Red Bull. 2025, obviously, Verstappen is a four-time champion at Red Bull. A driver in 2014 from Down Under, Ricciardo, joins Red Bull from a sister team. You know, obviously this year.
Liam Lawson
joins Red Bull from a sister team. Red Bull Junior Kvyat debuts in Toro Rosso. Red Bull Junior Hadjar debuts for Red Bull. Weber, Red Bull driver, retires from F1. Perez, Red Bull driver, retires from F1. Well, we say retires, he's got booted.
Yeah. I mean, you could say Daniel Ricciardo, Australian. Mark Webber, Australian, yep, retires from F1.
Ex-Ferrari driver Massa moves to Williams. Ex-Ferrari driver Sainz moves to Williams.
Yeah.
The similarities are an ex-World Drivers Championship, Raikkonen joins Ferrari. An ex-World Driver Championship champion, Hamilton, joins Ferrari.
Yep.
First race is on the 16th of March in Australia. First race this year, 16th of March in Australia. What are the ones here? Hülkenberg switches teams from Sauber to Force India in 2014. Hülkenberg switches teams from Haas to Sauber, yeah. And Magnussen begins his journey in F1 in 2014. Magnussen ends his journey in F1.
Yeah, I mean, look, life presents us with a lot of coincidences. I won't read too much into that, but it is it is always cool to see coincidence. But who went on to win the world championship in 2014?
Lewis?
There we have it. It must mean one thing.
It does. Right, couple more bits, okay? So a little quiz for you. Most F1 starts...
Another quiz.
No, but these are a bit different. They're a bit different. Most F1 starts for one team. Obviously, I'll give you... I want to see how many you can get, all right? So in first is Lewis Hamilton, 246 yeah, races. In P2, who are you going for?
Probably Schumacher in Ferrari.
No, he's P3.
Okay. All right.
So this is a comparison. Michael Schumacher did 179 races.
It might actually be Max Verstappen.
It's Max Verstappen, 186 races for Red Bull.
Wow.
P4. With 151 races.
Oh, right, we're still going. Lando in McLaren.
Lando's not even on here. Nope. 151 races.
Okay, what era are we in?
He's a world champion for Ferrari. You've already said Michael. Another world champion for Ferrari.
Raikkonen. Did he? Wow.
151 races for Ferrari.
That's mad. Like, I don't... It's strange because if I think of Raikkonen, I don't necessarily associate him with Ferrari.
No, Alfa Romeo.
Yeah, no, not them. But like, I don't know why. It's just...
P5. 150 races.
For the same team.
No, it's for McLaren.
No, but as in 150 races.
Oh, yeah, for the 100, team. Yeah.
But thanks for making my life easy.
We've mentioned him in today's episode.
David Coulthard.
P6, 145 races. Does it help if I tell you the team?
It does help with the team.
Okay, Haas.
K-Mag.
Yeah, 145 races.
Wow, that is impressive.
It is. In seventh, there's 10. Okay. 139 races for Ferrari.
That could be Massa.
It is Massa. P8, 136 races for McLaren. I was actually quite surprised. I don't know much, actually didn't think he raced as many times for him.
It could be Lewis.
No. Well, Lewis is P1, but Lewis is not on here.
Yeah, again. But Lewis could be on the list twice.
Yeah.
He was, you know, he was at McLaren 07, 08, 09, 010.
He's not.
010. 10, 11, 12.
011.
That's six seasons. Yeah, six seasons.
It's not him.
McLaren. You didn't think he'd be on the list.
He's a world champion.
I guess it could be Mika Hakkinen then.
No, he's... I'm going to tell you this. He's P10.
Who, Hakkinen?
Yeah.
The McLaren world champion.
He's not a world champion for McLaren, but he is a world champion.
Wow. Jenson Button.
Jenson Button.
Interesting.
Yeah. I didn't think he raced that many times for him. Also with 136, Mercedes.
Nico.
Nico.
It's weird because what I think of, like, when I was saying, like, you know, Jenson Button even, I don't associate him with McLaren. Like, when I think of him, I don't think, oh, Jenson Button, the McLaren driver.
Yeah. No, no, I always associate him with Braun.
Did he race at BAR?
BAR.
Yeah.
Yeah, Braun. He retired too early as well.
Jensen?
Mm.
Do you think?
Yeah. It's interesting. I don't know if you've seen this. So Nico Rosberg was asked, you know, if he was to come back into sport, what team would he think he would fit into?
Oh, he retired too young.
He retired too young, 100%. And he said, it'd be Mercedes. He said, for me, going back into Mercedes would make perfect sense if I was coming back into the sport. Mm. I know the team. I know how they run. I know what to expect. What's your thoughts? Do you think someone like Nico Rosberg could come into the sport and give it a good go?
I think it's too much time.
Do you think?
Yeah. Yeah. He's had too much time out here. How old is he now? Can we Google that? I just think not... performing, you know, 1 year is one thing, 2 years is another, but like, even I don't think Nico's not even racing elsewhere.
No, 39.
Yeah, I had no, you know, he retired too soon.
Yeah,
you know, he has spoken on his reasons why, but I don't think he could come back in now. It's just your body is not the same at 39, right? And if you've, it's really hard to maintain when you get to that age. If you lost it, and I'm not saying it like he'd be like slow, but like the physicality of this, he wouldn't be the Nico Rosberg that you had, you know, 8 years ago or whatever. So yeah, no chance. I don't think Mercedes would take him either.
I'm not saying they would, but if he came back into the sport, yeah, no. I'd be seeing more on Sky this year.
Still,
I think he's been brilliant.
Hands down, the best pundit on Sky Sports F1. Like, there's no doubt about it. Honest, straight talking, calls out bullshit. Brilliant. It's exactly what you want from someone. And it's good because he's... What the hell is that? Because he's like a... You know, he's an F1 world champion.
Yeah.
He's not one of the pundits that has like a regular job where it's like... I know Anthony Davidson's been catching a few strays recently, but like, he needs that job.
Yeah.
I was like, Nico can like rub against the grain. He can say things that maybe people on payroll can't. And he does that. And I think as viewers, a lot of the time you actually respect that.
Mm. The one thing I really like about him is that he could have easily come out after and completely continuously slated Lewis Hamilton. Obviously, you know, their friendship disintegrated during that 2016 season and leading up to that. He could have quite easily come out and been bitter after and all of this stuff, but he still comes out. He's fair in his analysis. He's straight talking. What you see is what you get with him. And he's not afraid to say, if someone's doing well, he'll give them credit. If they're not, he will say. And he asks the questions that fans want to ask, if that makes sense.
Yeah. He's really good when he does the interviews as well, because he's not afraid to ask like the questions that maybe, you know, the ordinary interviewers wouldn't.
Yeah.
So, and that's, you know, part of that comes from the fact that he is an F1 world champion. Mm. He can, a lot of the people that he speaks to, he's got a better track record than. Like, you know, if you're Lando Norris, you can't argue with Nico Rosberg. You can't.
Jenson Button, also world champion.
Yeah, but I think Jensen asks good questions as well. And when you're kind of in that position of where, well, you know, you don't have to demand respect because people respect you naturally due to what you've achieved. It's a lot better than when maybe you've got Karen Chandhok doing an interview, and I'm sure some of the drivers are probably there like, oh, it's just like,
there's three presenters this year who need more airtime for me. Okay, Nico Rosberg.
Yeah.
Naomi Schiff. I like her analysis. Bernie Collins.
Bernie.
Love Bernie Collins. Bernie Collins is a revelation for Sky Sports F1.
I'm not sure I necessarily agree with Naomi Schiff. Like, I don't think the other way either. I'm just impartial about her. But Bernie Collins, I fucking love. And Nico Rosberg, I love.
Bernie Collins has been such a good addition. And it's a shame. I wonder if they... Perhaps that's the way for potential, like, people who have left the sport, you know, if they're engineers or, you know, previously race whatever. Get them on.
Yeah, get Michael Massey on.
Do let us know.
I haven't seen much of him in a while.
No. Do let us know. Who is your favourite presenter and who do you want to see more of this year? Right, final question. And I said last week, each year, each week, I will ask a question. Last week, I asked you about... Will Antonelli beat George Russell this week? Will Oscar Piastri beat Lando Norris this year?
No. Lando is still the quicker driver. You told me in 2023 that in 2024, Lando would fall behind Oscar Piastri. That didn't happen. They had a car capable of winning. Yeah, Lando didn't take it to where it needed to be in order to win, but he did comfortably beat his teammate. And I think we're going to see that continue into 2025. And you're going to owe me a pint again.
Okay. Yeah.
Are we going to do a montage of all these at the end of the season to see how many I got right or wrong?
No. One thing we will do, though, the week before we start the new season, is we will write down our predictions for Drivers' Championship, Constructors, and then we'll open them at the end of the season.
Yeah, okay. So we won't even share them with each other.
Put
them in a little envelope.
Put them in an envelope. We can lock them away, open them at the end of the season and see who's right.
Well, can't lock them away. I haven't got a safe or anything.
We need to buy a safe.
Well, I can put them in the bathroom and lock the door.
We got 17 quid. We'll buy a safe.
We do.
But do let us know. Will Lando Norris get beaten by Oscar Piastri? I think, look, Oscar Piastri is getting better and better. I still believe that Oscar Piastri will become better than Lando Norris. I just do. But do let me know what your thoughts are on that. I know we've said, actually, our podcasts are going to be a lot shorter, but each, you know, we're...
Really dragging them out, aren't we?
An hour-long episode. So there we go. Hopefully you've enjoyed the episode. If you have, if you're watching on YouTube, leave a like button. Subscribe if you're new.
Leave a like button.
No, drop a like. Subscribe if you're new. If you're listening to us on Spotify or any other audio platform, please leave us a 5-star rating. We really appreciate it. We'll be back next week with more news, more stories, and a few more little quizzes. So have a great week and bye-bye.